morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this fifth Sunday of Easter. I'm really happy to see all of you here today, and I'm really glad that it didn't rain anymore this week. I have a few announcements for you. Praise be to God, I never have to take another ordination exam ever again in my entire life. I passed my final ordination exam, the worship and sacraments. I also finished of no more classes, no more papers. I am done. So that feels good. So on that note, there will be a potluck celebration next week for my graduation. So after church, we'll meet in Fellowship Hall and just have a little celebration. I'm looking forward to being with all of you. The pastoral prayer this week, I know I'm always changing things up, I'm sorry, but you're going to want to get used to that. The pastoral prayer this week is going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to ask you to participate with a response after each petition. I'll help you through it when we get there. There's a slide on it as well, okay? Just a note that I will be out of town most of this week. My mom is having spinal surgery in Cleveland on Wednesday. I'm going to go up there Tuesday evening. We're not sure when I'll be back, but I'll be back for Sunday. But I don't know if I'll be back Friday or Thursday or, you know, but I do, I really want to be there with her. So I will still be available by phone, and so if you need me for anything. Any other announcements that I'm missing? Oh, there is a deacon meeting after worship today. Thanks for reminding me. No, it's all good. All right. Well then, let us all gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above heaven and heaven. Praise the Lord. Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, In Christ There Is No East or West.
Thank you.
Friends, we come to confession not to wallow in our guilt, but because we know change starts with being honest. In a desire to grow and change, let us confess our sins to our loving God. God of mercy, your command to love one another across all differences opens us to new horizons. Yet we often respond with fear and judgment that hinders your goal for humanity. Forgive our sins, we pray, and give us a true repentance that leads to life for all creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God's promises are trustworthy and true. Your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and serve the Lord, and may you always be known by your love. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us now greet one another with signs of peace.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are my treasure.
Christmas season of Easter rejoicing, let us offer our prayers and thanksgivings for the Church of the world. After each petition, I will say, O God of love, and ask for your response, raise us to new life in Christ. For the well-being of your creation, that we may promote its ability to offer praise to you through spacious skies, bountiful seas, verdant lands, and precious creatures, great and small. We especially pray for those affected by natural disasters, like the continuing wildfires in northern New Mexico. Provide the land with moisture and ease the damaging winds. O God of love, raise us to new life in Christ. For the life of the church, that our generous witness may broaden your table as all find a place to live and grow in love. We especially pray for those displaced by war, persecution, and poverty. Provide us with open hearts and arms to welcome them in your love. O God of love, raise us to new life in Christ. For the welfare of your world, that all leaders and people, young and old, will strive to live together in harmony while serving the common good. We especially pray for those affected by the war in Ukraine and other areas of the world. Provide our leaders with disciplines of peace and diplomacy. O God of love, raise us to new life in Christ. For all who suffer any violence, pain, or grief, that they will know the comfort of your presence as you wipe every tear from their eyes. We especially pray for my mom, Mary Hauser, who will have neck surgery this coming Wednesday. Provide all of them with healing and lessen their pain. O God of love, raise us to new life in Christ. For the love made known to us in Jesus Christ through this community and the joys you have brought us, especially passing grades and ending of the semester, and the hatchlings of our church geese. For these and all other blessings, we give you thanks and praise. O God of love, raise us to new life in Christ. For so many blessings and for answered prayers, we give you thanks through your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit to join in our hymn of meditation, Spirit Song.
Yeah.
be seated. It is in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have received that we now return to God our tithes and offerings in order that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. Loving God, we give you thanks for the ministry of reconciliation to which you call us in the name of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Accept these gifts for your mission to heal all of creation. May they be a testament to your love for us as we share them in love for you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture today is Acts 11:1-8. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, was it I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. O God of promise, your word made flesh in Jesus Christ is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may it rise up in us this day like a gift from the spring of the water of life to refresh our thirsty souls. Amen. I think the reason that their attendance is a little low today is because they saw the title of my sermon and they knew that I was going to talk about controversial things. We don't really like controversy. Well, I think there are some people who actually do like it, but I think for the most part, we don't. We really like to run. We run from unfamiliar things, and we build these physical or metaphorical walls to maintain the status quo. We don't like to hear that there may be some things that we've gotten wrong. And there's a lot of controversy in today's scripture about who does and does not belong. I wish I could tell you that at the end of the day, all of the lessons were learned and everyone lived happily ever after. But you're too smart for that. You live in the world of today just like I do, and I think you know that there are still all sorts of divisions amongst God's people. So let's take this back just a little bit. So Luke is the author of Acts. And throughout his writings, including the Gospel of Luke, he's been trying to prepare the Israelites for the inclusion of Gentiles into God's salvation. So right before this passage, Peter was hanging out with a Roman centurion, Cornelius, as well as his friends and family. And in the first century, a Roman centurion is hardly someone that the disciples wanted to spend a lot of time with. But while Peter is there, the Holy Spirit descends upon all of those people that are gathered there, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Okay, what's this big deal about circumcision? It's times like these when I have to talk about circumcision that I'm glad that we don't have a whole lot of children here. But basically, circumcision is this visible sign of the covenant that God made between himself, God's self, and the Israelite people. It was this clear boundary between who was in and who was out. And knowing who was in and who was out was particularly important when it came to purity and kosher laws. And just to be clear, that the Gentiles were not circumcised. Inviting a Gentile to eat with you, it's a little blurry, but it's not completely banned. You could control the menu and the seating arrangements and, you know, all of those other things. But Gentiles, man, they were real wacky. They ate and did all sorts of crazy things. A Gentile host would likely offer you all sorts of unkosher, unclean things that could jeopardize your relationship with God and the community as a whole. So eating with Gentiles wasn't just about cleanliness or purity, but it was also about physical safety. Persecuted people need to be aware of whose company they share. For Israelites in the Roman Empire, all of these practices helped maintain their identity while facing constant pressure to assimilate to the majority culture. Not only was there like a whiff of idolatry for eating with what a Roman centurion offered, there was a distinct possibility of being arrested or worse. So the disciples heard that Peter ate with those people. Peter, what were you thinking? Ugh. This was really hard news for the people to swallow. The controversy wasn't that Peter preached to them or even that Peter baptized these Gentiles. And baptism did bring them in to some level of belonging, but if they wanted to be true members of this religion and to follow Jesus, they had to go all the way and engage in the same practices and traditions as the Israelites. So Peter here, he's got to defend himself real quick before he's thrown out of the community. So he recounts everything that's happened, step by step. And this recounting isn't only to justify his actions, it's also to clearly show that God is doing something. Like, this is what God was doing. Like, no, listen. This is what happened. Listen, let me explain. Peter tells them of this nightmarish vision. All of those things that Leviticus 11 says are unclean are lowered before him, and God's voice says, "Peter, kill and eat." Surely this must be some sort of test, right? But no, this happens 3 times. And then the guys that these guys come and they invite him to Cornelius' house. Okay. I guess I'll go. Once there, Cornelius tells Peter about the vision that he had to send for Peter, and that Peter would tell him how his whole household could be saved. As Peter is telling him about Jesus and the resurrection, the Holy Spirit rests upon this Gentile household. The same way that it did for the Jewish disciples. And Peter thinks, well, if God gave them the same gift that we got, how can I possibly turn them away? How can I not be with them? Who am I to stand in God's way? The passage ends with no further objections from the apostles and a recognition of God reaching out to the Gentiles. There is this distinct moment that is transformative for both the circumcised and uncircumcised. The Gentiles are transformed, but also the circumcised have a change of heart. Both are inspired by the Lord, and that will now infuse the early believers with a radically new sense of the kind of community that's possible in God's new realm. But this transformation is far from complete. The controversy is far from over. In and beyond the book of Acts, the church continues to struggle with the Spirit's calling to reframe our sense of who belongs, and how Israelite and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, are to serve and share the table together. God outdoes all of our traditions, and the Spirit calls us to join others in ways that lead us all more fully into God's life-giving realm. The church is still led by the Holy Spirit. I tell you that Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. We've received new insights regarding who does and doesn't belong over the centuries. Issues like slavery, circumcision, women's ordination, racial equality, disability inclusion, LGBTQ dignity. We still haven't accepted all of the ways that the Spirit is leading us to become more inclusive. This text is about expanding our limits. It probably felt a lot safer to the early church to keep Cornelius and his Gentile household at arm's length. But the Holy Spirit is always pushing us towards the practices of greater inclusion and love. Unfortunately, that's still a pretty controversial thing these days. We all like to think that we would never, ever perceive or treat people different than us with any sort of prejudice. But we do live in a society, and we are entrenched in traditions that have long, long histories of doing exactly that. If we want to fully participate in what God is doing in the world today, we need to recognize and admit our prejudices and their impact on human relationships. We need to engage with others different from ourselves in more than just the superficial ways. When someone tells you that, well, you can't possibly be a Christian if you voted for a Republican, or you can't possibly be a Christian, what kind of Christian votes for a Democrat? That's meaningless to God. The awesome news is that the Spirit will work despite the barriers that we build due to fear. Personally, I think that's comforting. It's comforting to know that even as I continue to fumble when it comes to fully loving and accepting people who look and think differently than me, even as I perpetually do and say cringeworthy things, God is still at work in the world. As we work toward a fuller understanding of God in the world, we're going to continue hearing from surprising and controversial sources about the new things that God is doing. Because God is always doing something new. And new things are always controversial. Peter plainly tells us the story of God's controversial acceptance towards the Gentiles. What other stories of controversial acceptance do we need to be willing to hear? Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, "We Are One in the Spirit."
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. to the Father from whom all things come.
Before we go back out into the world, let me offer you a blessing. Jesus has loved us so that we may love others. May God, who has made you a new creation, give you the grace to grow in faith, hope, love. Go and forth in peace and to love and serve the Lord. Amen.